This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll be wrapping up the Stanley Cup Final, praising the Avalanche, praising the Lightning, talking about where the Lightning are at, what their future might be. Coming up, let me please acknowledge my supporters, Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. First, Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. The Todd Wright Tour is currently on its summer break. I don't want to put my players through weather delays, postponements, cancellations, wet golf courses, muddy golf balls, unmowed conditions. So we'll be back in October to start the to get into the fall season with the Todd Wright Tour, and Brandon Legal Group will be there. They're always there for me. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Sean, Colin, so many other people from Brandon Legal Group, some no longer affiliated with BLG, still speak so highly of my golf tournaments. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. Full-service means post-judgment. Full-service means family law. Full-service means divorce. Full-service means child support adjustment. Just some examples of what full-service means. What does it mean to you? Why don't you call for a free consult and find out? 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, your full service law firm. Bill Curry Ford, I will soon be meeting with Sean Sullivan and Grace Thomas to talk about what we will be doing for Todd Wright Fantasy Football Drafts in 2022. Bill Curry Ford writes big checks to the winners of leagues that play under the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast umbrella, and I appreciate their support of that podcast, as well as this one, where I simply convey to you, I had a very palatable car buying experience working directly with Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, and he encourages me to have you reach out to him when you are in the market for either a new Ford vehicle, a pre-owned Ford vehicle, or a pre-owned make and model that is not a Ford that is on the Bill Curry lot. It's almost 9 months ago now that I traded in a 2014 Ford sedan with 100,000 miles on it for a 2018 Ford SUV with 40,000 miles on it. The process went fast. I'm a very happy customer. Bill Curry Ford, first family of Ford in Tampa Bay on Northdale Mabry, just north of Raymond James Stadium. All right, email write.todd@yahoo.com, social media. We can be friends on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Or Twitter, ToddWright2121. Not there a lot. On Instagram a lot. It's fun on Instagram, just posting cool photos of my pop vinyl collection and golf stuff. And it promotes my podcast and other media appearances as well as the golf tournaments at ToddWright2121 on Instagram as well. Hang on, I'm dealing with a couple of pop-ups. Let me get rid of those. Here we go. I hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July weekend if I don't talk to you before that. First on the Avalanche, I said in my VEASAN segments, VEASAN, the sports betting network, off my near-perfect first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where my only miss was the series between Boston and Carolina. I had the Bruins winning there, and they couldn't get it done in Game 7 in a series where the home team won all seven games, a very 87 World Series. I was betting against the Avalanche until they proved me wrong, because that conference semifinal spot had been where, no matter how talented they were, they fell short. And when things went bad for the Avalanche, they couldn't adjust. That's what had happened in a few consecutive years. Well, I won't be betting against them now. They broke through. They finished the job. The only time, even technically, they trailed in a playoff series was in Game 3 of the conference semis. They were down 1-0 in Game 3. before the Kadri collision with a Blues player and Binnington, which forced Binnington out of that game and out of the rest of the series. And yes, change the nature of that series. I'm not going to ignore that. We cannot ignore that. When you lose a starting goaltender of that caliber who has won a Stanley Cup, you cannot ignore the impact it has on the series, whether there was intent to injure or not. And I know about Kadri's past. I've said multiple times, I didn't think there was intent to injure, nothing I can prove. So it's very unfortunate that Binnington went out. St. Louis had a furious rally to win game five of that series, then basically blew game six, or they're forcing, they were in a position to do what the Lightning tried to do, force Colorado to win a game seven on home ice after being up 3-1. Blues couldn't do it, blew a late 3-2 lead, and Lightning couldn't do it, blowing the 1-0 lead, if you want to put it that way, in game six. I've always been a big Nathan MacKinnon fan. Makar is one of a kind, very worthy of winning the Norris Trophy. I thought when Joe Sakic acquired Taves, I was wondering what Lou Lamoriello was doing getting rid of Taves at a time where the Islanders with Barry Trotz had clearly one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. So that top defensive pairing, extremely good. Nikushkin's going to make a lot of money. That guy was 2 years, $5 million the last two seasons. Yeah. You think Palat's going to make money? Nikushkin's going to cash in, too, and deservedly so. But number of Avalanche players. They could roll all four lines. Veteran defensemen. You know, a couple of guys in Burakovsky and Helm who had won Stanley Cups before. You need that in the room, in a room where no one has won a cup. I don't think Kemper's that good, but he didn't you know, have a Mike Smith meltdown other than the Game 3 blowout. So Kemper got him by. He's not a great goaltender. But 1 through 20, the Avalanche were the best team in these Stanley Cup playoffs. They proved it. They won close games. They got over that semifinal hump, and I won't be betting against them going forward. And I'm a big fan, always have been, and continue to be, of Joe Sakic. He knew how to put together that roster. Interesting note, not to be Vin Scully here. So there's the retro theory that Colorado benefited. Colorado had the best chance of winning the draft lottery to determine the top picks of the draft where they got Makar. And Colorado lost that lottery bad. They had the best chance to get the number one pick, and they ended up not getting any of the top three. None of the top three. They ended up fourth and ended up with Makar. Lightning were in that lottery. Yeah, how about that? Not much of a chance in the lottery, but Colorado had the best chance at the top pick, didn't get it, fell to four, turned it into Makar. Lightning were in that lottery. Sort of odd to think, well, wait a minute, Colorado was so bad. Yeah, it was off the year the Lightning missed the playoffs. Coming off that 2015 Cup run, they didn't make the playoffs the next year. They were in that lottery where Colorado got Makar, and probably, I don't know if Sakic has admitted it, he wouldn't have selected Makar if they win that lottery. And instead he gets Makar at four. Yeah. So let's look at why the Lightning fell short. Let me first talk about Sergachev, because he's been the subject of a lot of podcasts. His turnover cost them game one. We already did an entire podcast about that. He admitted he didn't gap up, make a play on Kadri on the game-winning goal in game four. I admire Sergachev for owning up to that. He played a shitload of minutes in that game. And he sat there and talked to the media afterwards for as long as the media had questions. So I'll give him credit for that. But still, his mistakes contributed directly to the game one loss and the game four loss. I'll throw one more bone his way. In the blowout loss in game two, he wasn't on the ice for any of the goals. None of them. But two overtime goals, he does take some blame for that. And the Lightning lost the series 4-2. There's more blame to go around. Vasilevsky, he was good. He wasn't great. He let in some bad goals. Some of it was puck luck, but he let in some bad goals. Five hole and what Darren Pang calls six hole. Look it up. Then you have lack of scoring from the Lightning below the top line. The Braden Point injury spotlights that even more. So other than the blowout win in game three, where was the offensive production from the Lightning's number two, number three, and number four line? One there. Couldn't roll four lines and be productive. That hurts your momentum. It hurts your puck possession. It hurts your pace. It doesn't help you tilt the ice. And the power play was bad against the Avs. The Avs, without Braden Point in that bumper spot, clearly it was an issue. And the Avalanche were very good at defending the Lightning power play. So where do the Lightning go from here off this tremendous run? I'm not sure that you can expect a run at another cup next year. Now, it doesn't appear as though Stammer's going anywhere. 2 years left on his deal. Kucherov's going anywhere. Point's not going anywhere. He's not going to be on the ice for a while. That was the worst of the injuries. Cooper even said, you know, he won't play in a game, and he won't do anything, you know, on the ice until what, October? Because it was a severe injury. Hedman not going anywhere. And Vasilevsky not going anywhere. But that's five players. That's over 50% of your cap. So, I mean, the Lightning did some pretty cool things with the roster to make this third run against losing Gord in the expansion draft. Whether you agree with that or not, I don't. As of right now, there's no space. The feeling is that Palat cashes in elsewhere. Yeah, there's the Stamkos example of, does he really want to leave? Where does he want to go? No state income tax in Florida. He's spent his entire career being coached by John Cooper. Does he really want to go? But this is his chance to cash in. And I'm not sure what the Lightning can do for him. If the Lightning could somehow move on from McDonough, which is $6.5 million AAV for the next 4 years, but McDonough has a full no-move clause, so he'd have to agree to waive it. I don't see them being able to make Palat happy and keep him here. Now, the next guy is Paul, who I think even Cooper admitted was better than he thought once he started coaching him. So you have Paul. Is he a better center option going forward for the Lightning, and you want to be strong down the middle, than Cirelli, who, granted, was playing with, what, one or two bad shoulders, as we learned post-Stanley Cup final. Excellent defensively, but where was the offense from Cirelli in the Stanley Cup playoffs? It really wasn't there, and I'm wondering if the Lightning were disappointed. He's still young. He's 3 years younger than Paul, but only 1 year left on the Cirelli deal before RFA. Do you move on from Cirelli to keep Paul? I don't think you can keep them both. And Paul would make some pretty good money on the open market. Killorn. Maybe retirement. He could be traded, but he can submit a list of teams he can't be traded to. That still gives the Lightning some room to work there. Offensively, Killorn had a nightmare of a postseason. No goals, despite being a 20-goal scorer in the regular season. I'm not suggesting Killorn is done. I'm just looking at where the Lightning could make a move to try to create some cap room. Killorn's deal is about 4.5, and there's only 1 year left on it, so you're not likely to extend him. And I don't know how many teams it is. I assume it's 50. It's either what, 25%, 50%, or 75%. I'm gonna split the difference and say that it might be half. So there's maybe half the league you could trade Killorn to. And you sweeten the pot with a draft pick. Teams do it all the time. The Lightning have done it. And then McDonough. I mentioned that. And McDonough gives it his all. But that's a big deal with a full no move. And it just stands out more than any other contract going forward as one that if the Lightning could rid themselves of it, it gives them some flexibility. And there's only 1 year left on the Sergachev deal. So I'm not suggesting the Lightning should move on from Sergachev. I get it. And he's only 23 years old. But he's also going to be due a huge payday. So, and there's obviously value in him if you want to move him. Now, in general, you don't move defensemen. You covet them. You keep them. So I don't anticipate Sergachev would be going anywhere, but if you get out from under the McDonough deal, it creates some room to re-up Sergachev either this year with an extended deal or after this year because there's only 1 year left on it. And let's talk about John Cooper. Longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League. Yeah, I think he stays, but he's got to get some assurances from up top of what type of a team he's going to have. Now, unless barring something odd, he's still going to have Point, Stammer, Kucherov, Hedman, Vasi, because that's over 50% of your cap. Now, there are other players who are under contract, but those are your five big names. So he still has that. Reports are that Steve Yzerman, his former boss in Detroit, who still needs a coach, is going to interview both Lightning assistant coaches. I would love to see Jeff Halpern get a head coaching job. I've always wondered if Cooper would end up working for Yzerman again in Detroit. So I don't really know what the scenario is because Yzerman stuck with a coach. The second longest tenured head coach in the National Hockey League was just fired. He didn't make the playoffs the last 7 years. So Yzerman, if he's not going to get Cooper now, when do you get him? You know, you can't hire a transitional coach. This is not like the NBA where an NBA team stinks. So they're like, well, hire him. And then the minute they get good players, they upgrade at head coach as well. Look at what the Miami Heat did a number of years ago as an example for that. I don't know how Yzerman does that. But I just wonder. I never felt Cooper would stay if the Lightning had to totally tear this thing down. But considering the superstars you have, Stamkos for 2 more years, Kucherov beyond that, Point beyond that, Hedman. Yeah, I wonder about Hedman. Have we seen him at his best? But I don't think it's going to be a quick fall from the top. I'd still call him a top 6 defenseman in the National Hockey League. And Vasilevsky, I'll still take him over any other goaltender in the league. I think Shesterkin in a year or so can make that claim. But right now, and Marc-Andre Fleury, Father Time finally caught up to him. So there we're looking at the best goaltenders. So that's what is still there. I'm expecting Cooper stays, but just keep an eye on it. It might be a year-to-year thing with John. And if he steps away for personal and or professional reasons, he's earned the right to do so. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Bill Curry Ford. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.